have y'all this morning. I thank you to the elders for the opportunity to get to stand before you and present this lesson this morning. I want to thank our visitors for being here. We'd like to welcome you back at your next opportunity. So many of you have been encouragement to my family and myself, and also a good example, and we love y'all, and we're so glad to be a part of Eastside. I want to tell you a story this morning about a man who's on his canoe going down the river. As he's going down the river, he notices a sign off to the side, big bold letters that says, "Caution, waterfall ahead." So he docks his boat, and he gets out. He's unpacking his lunch, and as he's unpacking his lunch, he notices another canoe coming by. And this guy is like in this picture here. He's kicked back, got his hat over his eyes. He's asleep. Well, the guy standing on the bank, he's, "Man, I'd hate to wake him up." But he's headed for a waterfall. Do we find ourselves doing that sometimes, where we have somebody that we see, family member, a friend, coworker, someone that is headed for destruction, headed for that waterfall, and we do nothing, we say nothing? So this morning I want to talk to you about proselytizing the unprepared. Proselytizing means to advocate or promote a belief or course of action. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 9, starting with verse 35. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Then let's also look at Matthew 28, 19 and 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So I know that some of you like to garden. You grow some of the most beautiful tomatoes and other produce. And one of the things, if you have a tomato or any kind of vegetable or fruit on the vine, if you don't pick it when it's ripe, it's either going to get pecked by birds, eaten by worms or bugs, or it'll rot right there on the vine or bush. So people's heart, as Jesus was talking about in Matthew 9, they are ripe. People's hearts are ready to be proselytized, to accept the message. And there is those that are unprepared. What do you think that the devil does with those same ripe hearts when he has the opportunity to present them with the pleasures of this world? In order for us to be effective at proselytizing, we must open our hearts. Let's turn over to 2 Peter 3, 8 through 10. "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." So God's desire is that not any should perish. What's our desire? And then in verse 10, we read that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. So we see danger ahead. Why are we not proselytizing? In Acts 15:3, we see that the early Christians were joyous over the conversion of the Gentiles. Do we become joyous whenever we see someone who is unprepared come to the knowledge of the truth and obey it? Let's turn to Romans 9, 2 and 3. Let's see what Paul's heart was toward those that were unprepared. "I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh." We see that Paul was grieved in his heart because he seen the great need for his brethren, his countrymen. Where is our hearts for those that are unprepared? Are we out here proselytizing those that are not ready? There's a story that I encountered on YouTube. It's called The Gift of a Bible. And Penn and Teller are magicians, and the one telling the story proclaims to be an atheist. He said that he was given this gift of a Bible. He said that those that believe what the Bible says and that aren't proselytizing, he said, "How much do you have to hate someone to see them headed for destruction and say nothing, do nothing?" He made an analogy of a guy standing in the roadway, and there's a truck barreling in on him. And he tells this guy, "Move, there's a truck headed your way," and the guy stays there. He said there comes a certain point in time where he's going to tackle this guy out of the way from keep him from getting hit by this truck. Brothers and sisters, we have those that are spiritually unprepared, and we're not tackling them. In addition to opening our hearts, we also have to open our Bibles. In Joshua 1:8 and Deuteronomy 11, it tells that the instruction of Jehovah to the Israelites was to bathe themselves in God's commandments. Are we making God's Word a part of our everyday life? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, let's turn over there and look at it. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Some of those translations say accurately dividing. If I had a longbow up here and a target over there, and I've never picked up a longbow, haven't practiced, and I try to hit that target, I'm likely not going to hit it, right? And you're probably not going to want to put an apple on top of your head for me to try to hit it, right? So if we don't have practice, if we don't open God's Word, we don't know what it says, how do we expect to proselytize those that are unprepared? Also in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." In order to proselytize, we got to know what we're saying with conviction. If you don't believe what this word says and you aren't showing it in your life, the people you're trying to proselytize to, those unprepared, they're not going to believe you. Hebrews 5:12 through 14 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised and discern both good and evil." What we get here on Sundays and Wednesdays is not enough. We've got to open our Bible. We've got to know what it says if you ever expect to proselytize those that are unprepared. Finally, in order to proselytize those that are unprepared, we must open our mouths. Let's turn over to Colossians 4, 2 through 6. "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Are we praying for opportunities for each other, for ourselves, that we may have an opportunity to proselytize those who are unprepared? Are we praying that our words are seasoned with salt so that when the opportunity presents itself, that we may know what to say in front of those that need to hear God's Word? In Matthew 10:16, Jesus tells His disciples to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In Acts 10:34, we see where Peter opened his mouth in the house of Cornelius. And then again in Matthew 5, Jesus opened his mouth. I'm not saying that by our example and our conduct that we can't be a sermon to those around us that are unprepared. But if we are not proselytizing, we may lose some opportunities that we may have had to speak to someone. I want to challenge you, each and every one of you, this week, that person that you're thinking about right now, that person that's on your heart, that you know is unprepared, you see them headed for the waterfall, I want you to talk to them this week. I want you to tell them you love them, and you see the danger that they're headed down. You see them headed for that waterfall, and you just want to tell them because you care. I want to tell you a story about a guy that I worked with. We were the same age. We went into work at the same time. I seen him at the gym from time to time. Had plenty of opportune times to talk to this guy. We even made small talk from time to time. I went into work one day, and he wasn't there. I found out over the weekend that he had drowned. You know, I asked myself, did I ever ask him if he was a Christian? Did I ever mention Jesus Christ to him? I can't recall that I did. These opportunities that we're given, you may not get another one. Let's take these opportunities as we have a chance that presents herself. Tracy Moyers had a prayer. And also, Scott, thank you for your prayer. On those that are lost, for us to have a burning desire of God's Word in our heart that we can't help to hold it in. We got to share it with those around us. Do you have that burning desire? There's a famous musician who said the bad people of the world trying to make this world a worse place, they're not taking a day off. Why should I? Satan is not taking a day off. We shouldn't either. If you fear rejection from those that you're trying to proselytize, I want you to think about what Jesus said in John 15 to his disciples. If they reject me, they will also reject you. And also think of what Jesus must have felt when he was in the garden in Matthew 26. Sweat drops of blood, praying to God, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me. He knew that he was about to pay for your sins with his life. Think about how nervous he was. If you fear that rejection from those that you're trying to proselytize, I want you to think of Proverbs 28:1. It says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The elders here have provided us with plenty of tools and opportunities that we can use to proselytize those that are unprepared. We have tracts in the back. We door knock before gospel meetings. There are some here that have the public Bible readings we could partake and be a part of. We can post sermons and classes on social media. These are all things that are good things that we can do to proselytize those that are unprepared. Let's reach out to those that are unprepared. If you have not been baptized, you're not prepared. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Then again, in Acts 8, we read about the account of Philip and the eunuch, where the eunuch is reading out of the prophet Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. And Philip comes to him, he says, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I unless someone shows me? So he began to preach to him Jesus. The eunuch said, there's water. What hinders me from being baptized? So he went from not understanding to understanding that he needed to be baptized. If you're not baptized today, why wait? If you're a Christian and you've fallen away, you've sinned, we read earlier in 2 Peter that God is not willing that any should perish. But we also read that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. None of us are promised tomorrow. None of us are promised the next 5 minutes. Please, don't wait. Please come forward as we now stand and sing.